Well, when I was told that the subject this year, the Historic Boston's theme, was going to be food and drink, I said, I'm on. I'm there for you. And I agreed to it right away because of one simple reason. Is there any aspect of religious life more elemental, more profound than bread and wine? Now, it is true that folks around the country and around the world know just a few things about New England cooking. They know that what you do with a top-sliced white bread hot dog bun is you don't put a hot dog on it, you put lobster. They know about Dunkin' Donuts. They know about our tradition of boiled dinners, where you boil everything. H.L. Mencken once said that Puritanism is to be understood as the grudging suspicion that someone somewhere was having a good time. And New England cuisine is the uneasy suspicion that someone somewhere is tasting something. You have to think about that one a little bit. But yet, our forebears, when the general court came up with a tradition for remembering what the people had survived, living perched on the edge of an ocean, the edge of, for them, a daunting and forbidding wilderness, they said, we would remember to place five kernels by our plate. Now, I know that modern historians all tell us that that's a myth. They did not survive just on five kernels of corn. But I submit to you that it's a founding myth, which is another way of accessing truth that is a deeply remembered reality that goes much deeper than fact. They needed spiritual food for survival. And guess what? So do we. So do we. One historian called their situation early on a fiery furnace of affliction as they gathered around their hearth. But what I learned this week and in events to come isn't about what they specifically ate and drank, although that's absolutely fascinating. For one thing, they drank a lot of beer and very little water. In fact, one Puritan minister admitted, I can and oft times do drink New England water very well, just not often. I want to talk this morning about what they believed about the sustaining waters and the sustaining food that allowed them to survive, their spiritual meat and drink. And they knew that this was important, and they thought so, because their scriptures thought so. And there have seldom ever been believers more saturated with the Bible. They worked the stony fields of New England to produce harvests for times of feast and famine and fast. They plied the adjoining coastline for what one minister who lived for a week on clams alone called these treasures of the sea. They dared to scrape by and to live upon this edge because they understood that in their faith was the sustaining bread of life, that what would save them in the end were the elementals. We don't really remember this verse very well, but they did. They had the whole thing memorized. 24th chapter of Exodus. Remarkable testimony to the experience of being intimate with the ultimate. The passage reads, Moses went up to the mountain with Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders, And they saw the God of Israel, and they gazed on God, and they ate and they drank. They were having a Thanksgiving. We might not remember this passage, but they did. The earth and its fruitfulness. They said there was God's second scripture. The first scripture was from their God who, it was said, would not let them starve. From the book of Joel, the threshing floors shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with wine and oil. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The old shall dream dreams, and the young shall see visions. And what is interesting about that verse is before the old dream their dreams and the young have their visions of a new life, what comes first? What's more primal? It is that you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. The spiritual life is not an evasion of what we eat and drink. It is a fulfillment of it. Emerson once said, God hides things by putting them near us. And so what do we miss most often? To sit on an evening and look at the food before us and to feel an essential blessing. As Jesus was asked, give us this bread now and always. And Jesus thought to himself, how am I going to express who and what I am? And he said, I'm the bread of life. Gandhi was once asked where God was. And he said, for the poor, God is bread. It's an old Jewish saying. When they come to celebrate Passover, they say it as humor, as Jews so often do, but they said it because it's an essential truth, an elemental truth. We were slaves, we were freed, let's eat. And what is the festival of Thanksgiving? That's what most people around the world know of us as New Englanders. Thanksgiving. The word Eucharist is translated as Thanksgiving. It is being around a common table and saying thank you for this day, this meal, this life. And when the pilgrims survived their desperate winter, when half their number died, what did they do? They had a party for 3 days. You know, we sometimes confuse our forebears. Carl Scoville from King's Chapel says, the kingdom of God is a feast, and heaven is a church supper. The metaphor which Jesus describes the God-intended human community is not a civil metaphor, nor is it an academic, not a forensic, but a domestic metaphor. It's a meal. The kingdom of God is a feast. And when I say feast, I don't mean a 3 or 4 course dinner when we're watching our weight in our pocketbooks, but I mean a real feast, a true feast. I'm talking about roast lamb and fruits and nuts and olives and breads and sweet cakes, honey and gallons of good red wine. It is no light snack for the faint of heart, but a full, strong, hearty banquet for those who wish to share the joy of their host. For the poor, God is bread. The Jewish poet Ella Barzov Campbell says, baker woman God, strong, brown baker woman God, bread well kneaded by some divine and knotty pair of knuckles, where you take the bread in your hands and you knead it and you let it rise and you pound it down again and it rises again. It's not a metaphor. It's religion at its purest. It is the true food of survival. And in a world where we're going to be looking in the next 20 years of a population going from 7 billion to 9 billion, in an era of royal regional upheaval, where the current tide of refugees that we see on the news every night is only a foretaste of things to come, and then you add in climate change, suddenly food and water are not as sureties. And they're not just political problems or strategic problems. They will become profoundly spiritual ones. And they always have been. From Matthew 7:9, who of you, if your children ask for bread, would give them a stone? In the world in which we live, abundance is the hallmark of the spiritual life. Abundance. And abundance comes not from hoarding, not from delineation of walls and borders. It's from sitting at the common table. It's understanding that we have to finish each other's planting and harvesting and threshing. That to share a meal means to ultimately share the ultimacies of the heart. And so what's essential? What is the spiritual bread for survival? It is that which is essential to our being, that which is elemental, reminding us of the ground, the earth, out of which we come. The feast of the communal life, the thanksgiving. The understanding that in hard times to come, it is justice and mercy and sharing that will denote true faith. And abundance. Abundance. I end today with Isaiah. Words that our forebears knew very well. And they took to heart. And they believed, even in tough times. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. It is a strange message. It is not a message of holding back from life or dieting. It is a message of abundance and joy, the communal full life. That is something to celebrate on this Charter Day.